This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Nintendo is in the news a lot recently, from investors saying they need to develop on the iPhone to a new software patent that I can name prior art to in 2 seconds. Plus, id Software thinks people who buy used games don't belong in sewers. Tonight is August 14th, 2011, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
No, I cannot delay the show 10 minutes so you can put clothes in the washer. Thanks for asking, but no. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history whenever that happens. If you're joining us live here, not doing your laundry here on All Games Radio, head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat, not about your laundry, for the rest of the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in, Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can call in either of those ways, or you can email me using the form on our website, bobbyblackwolf.com. Nintendo is a lot of the news here is about Nintendo, and it's not even like no Nintendo games have come out. I don't think we've heard that Xenoblade or Last Story are coming. This is all about kind of the stuff going on in the industry relating to Nintendo, and this was actually kind of a funny moment when I read this, because it's about Nintendo being a public company and what that means to Nintendo, and when people start complaining about the way Nintendo is going, especially because they're posting record losses, the 3DS did not do too well in the marketplace, that the investors who probably don't know anything about the industry are now trying to push Nintendo to do something that Nintendo president Satoru Iwata has explicitly stated he will never do as long as he's in charge. So if this may play out to be kind of interesting if the investors start trying to get involved. Bloomberg has reported that later this year in Super Mario 3D Land, Nintendo will take its iconic Italian plumber battle turtle-like Koopa Troopas on his 3D player. This is Bloomberg, so obviously it's not a gaming thing, so they're trying to dumb it down. The company instead should develop titles for Apple's iPhone, according to investors. The rift highlights the dilemma President Satoru Iwata faces as consumers shun Nintendo devices to play games on iPhones, iPad, and Facebook's website. The flop of the 3DS debut prompted the company to cut prices 40% in Japan and 32% in the U.S., the first time the game's developers resorted to such a move within 6 months of a product's debut. Iwata, who said Nintendo will only make titles for its own products as long as he's in charge, should scrap that strategy to avoid further alienating investors, who's driven the stock to six-year lows, fund manager Masamitsu Oki has said. One option may be acquisitions, as the past successes of the Wii and DS helped Nintendo, the world's largest video game maker, build a 1.05 trillion yen, or $13.7 billion war chest in cash, equivalents, and short-term investments. The fund manager at Tokyo-based Stats Investment Management says, quote, "Smartphones are the new battlefield for the gaming industry. Nintendo should try to either buy its way onto this platform or develop something totally new," unquote. He is not alone in saying Iwata should reconsider a strategy. On July 6th, Nintendo shares jumped in the most in almost 4 months after Pokemon Company, a former unit of Nintendo, said it's developing a game for the iPhone and handsets running on Mountain View, California-based Google Android software. JP Morgan Chase sent a note to clients saying the move indicated Nintendo may begin making titles for products outside its proprietary hardware. Hours later, Nintendo denied any change in strategy, and the shares surrendered the gains. MF Global FXA Securities, these financial companies have long names, said in a sales note that day, referring to Nintendo, quote, "They just don't get it. Sell the stock because a management once feted for creative out-of-the-box thinking has just shown how behind the times they are, unquote. Given the concerns over the outlook of Nintendo's handheld and home console business, which account for the company's most of the company's profit and sales, Nintendo should make better use of its more than $10 billion cash pile, according to Tetsuro Ii, who is another investor. He says, quote, Nintendo should aggressively make acquisitions or increase returns to its shareholders. It's management's task to consider how to make best use of the cash, unquote. He is the president of Tokyo-based Commons Asset Management, which held 2,200 shares of Nintendo as of February, according to the company's website. And essentially what it's referencing is there was a Pokemon game that was announced, or a Pokemon title. I don't think it was actual game, but it was a title in the Pokemon franchise announced for Android. Shares jumped. And then when Nintendo said, no, 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 we are not developing on iPhones, those shares went right back down immediately. So Nintendo's stock went up when people thought, oh my God, they're going to make iPhone games. And then they went down. And now investors are actually really starting to make their voice heard that, they don't know about the video game industry, but what they know is that they have all these people playing Angry Birds. And that there's all these people playing iPhone on their iPhone and iPad and Android. And that Nintendo should be in that market, because if Angry Birds is, can outsell the latest Mario game, then why is Nintendo not putting Mario on the iPhones? It makes perfect sense to an investor who doesn't know much about the gaming industry and, what Nintendo's methodology. All they see is, I need a return on my investment. I am investing in your company. And a lot of investors say, you need to develop on iPhones if you want to recoup my money, because obviously your 3DS strategy isn't working. And Nintendo is fighting back, but this is a public company, so the investors can actually band together and oust Satoru Iwata if they feel that he's taking the company in a direction that does not benefit their investment. Loserly in chat says, I think it's ridiculous. Nintendo is not doing things to drive down their stock intentionally. People thought releasing the Wii was not a sound strategy before it came out, and then it did well. There is a Mr. Hunt in chat. His first name is Mike. Says Apple and Nintendo should just join forces. Fifth Dream says, F Apple. iPhone and iPad is not the end-all of everything. Loserly, once again, says Nintendo should not make iPhone games. Doomplague says stockholders are fickle. D5T says he's a video game analyst. D5T is claiming to be a video game analyst, saying Angry Birds will be on the Dreamcast soon. How do you know it's not? There are still Dreamcast developers out there. Mr. Hunt says iPads and iPhones are the future of games. Fifth Dream says not everyone is a 50-year-old corporate douchebag who stands in the subway car blocking the door playing their Facebook games. And I cut out parts of this article, but they were saying that, Sony is, jumping into the Android fray. With the Vita runs Android, and then there's the Xperia Play, which is the PlayStation phone that everybody called it. Then that's running Android, and that's running Sony games, and then Microsoft has the Windows Mobile 7 phone. And they've even, Sony at least has flirted with doing Facebook games as well. So what they see is the other console manufacturers are looking into these other technologies, and, that's why the investors are saying Nintendo needs to also look into these technologies, or else there are going to be some changes in this company. Kaijudo says he would boycott if Apple and Nintendo joined forces. Funnydale says the Commodore 64 is the future of games. Those that say otherwise are dinosaurs. Commodore 64 still is. It could be. There's an indie game that looks like a Commodore 64 game out there, and it's doing really well. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, because there have been, people that say that Nintendo needs to do that, and Iwata has actually spoken out against the smartphone ideology of, 99-cent games. He feels that devalues the industry, and he's starting to, kind of go up right against Apple and all that stuff. And now the investors are like, why are you attacking them? They're making the money we thought you would be making for us. And, we want our money back. Or we want a return on our investment, or you're not going to have our money anymore. So speaking of the Nintendo 3DS, which we talked about, obviously we mentioned in that that they lowered the price 32% here in the U.S. And they have the Ambassador Program coming out. And I think the date for that has passed. You had to have logged into the eShop at some point before that date to be able to get this stuff. And actually, it's going to be some GIMP stuff that you're going to get at the right in the beginning. Destructoid reports that the first round of NES games will appear on September 1st as priority delivery titles, which is a fancy way of saying unfinished. These games are will be missing some features that will be available when they're released to the general public, chiefly the ability to save your game by making restore points, the ability to play simultaneous multiplayer, and an electronic manual. Priority versions will include a virtual console suspend function to at least keep a temporary save point, turn-based multiplayer on a single system, and a basic manual with control details. The games can be upgraded to the full version once they're available to all. The Game Boy Advance titles won't feature the suspension or restore points. The Game Boy Advance titles will have their regular save features utilized just like the normal game. So you can't like close the system and pause a Game Boy Advance game or anything like that. So it's like they don't get the point of why we all love the emulation. Because I like having multiple save points, multiple restore points. And I mean, I know that they don't offer that really in... I don't know if they're going to offer multiple restore points, because I know in the Wii Virtual Console they don't have the multiple restore points, but they do have the one. So when you exit out of the game and you come back in, it comes right back into where you left off. I would like to see multiple restore points. That would be great. Fifth Dream says, I've already boycotted Nintendo unless it involves Pokemon. I don't buy anything Nintendo anymore. And really, Pokemon, it's its own company, and it's just a subset of Nintendo or affiliated with Nintendo. Kaijudo says, there should be either be an option to get the GIMP games, or Nintendo should just pay you $80 instead. You should have that choice. He would take the cash. He would not take another copy of Super Mario Brothers or The Legend of Zelda that's GIMPed in the beginning. So the other bit of Nintendo news, and, you know, I've talked a lot here about patents, and, you know, the whole Lodsys thing is still pending. They're, the latest update on that is that they are trying to stop Electronic Arts and Rovio. Lodsys, they're the ones that claim that they have the patent on upgrading an app inside the app, which is basically the in-app purchase mechanism that Apple forces all of their developers to use to be able to publish on the iTunes App Store. Well, apparently, this company claims they patented it, and they don't want to talk to Apple. They want to sue everybody that's used it and take a portion of their profits from using this. And they've also claimed that they also patented the idea of having a link. So somebody clicks a button on your app, which opens a web browser that goes to your website that says what other games you have. They patented that as well, and they are suing people for that. For a portion of all of their profit, or a portion of all of their sales. So, but the latest is that they've added a lot of high profile people. They added Electronic Arts and they've added Rovio, and Electronic Arts and Rovio are trying to bring Apple into the discussion because Apple can end this pretty quickly. And Lodsys has basically filed an objection stating that Electronic Arts and Rovio have enough money to defend themselves. They don't need to bring Apple into it. So they're trying to stop Apple from stepping in on behalf of the app developers that use Apple's technology because they don't think that. So that's the latest that's going on there. It's still going on. They're a patent troll. They're not talking to the media. They don't even have a real office. There was a great NPR piece about it, which somebody on Twitter linked me to, and I read it a while ago. Talks all about software patents, and it just makes you rage. Well, here's another software patent from a big person, from Nintendo, that has been filed. This doesn't mean this is what they're doing. People file patents all the time for things they're never going to do, and then when somebody else does it, they can sue them for it. That's the way the patent office works these days. GameSpot reports that when it comes to online gaming, Nintendo has always insisted that it would not follow the competition, but would rather wait to pursue things in its own distinctive way. In a patent application filed in early 2010... and published last week, Nintendo is claiming dibs on the idea of a massively single-player online game. The patent gives a few examples of how such an idea would be implemented, starting with a single-player game in which the player's actions impact the characters and environment of other players enjoying the same single-player game. As the filing suggests, this would offer players some of the benefits of a traditional online world without a potential drawback inherent to massively multiplayer online games. According to the patent application, those who want to play games that are more dynamic, not based on AI, and not pre-scripted like multiplayer games, however, don't want to deal with other people, appreciate the privacy it provides. Nintendo offered more specific examples of the patent being put into use, such as a game with an economy affected by player demand for and scarcity of items. The company pointed to a purse in a fashion-centric game as one implementation of that, or perhaps oil in a global commodities trading game. Another example given had one player spotting a pile of building materials in a virtual world and making a house of it. Since the world is the same, the next player to happen along happens to find a heap, not a heap of lumber and tools, but a finished house with the player nowhere to be seen. Additionally, Nintendo's filing suggested that one player could gossip to another to a non-player character in the world who would then pass it along to other players. The application also covers one tweak to make the game world more traditionally multiplayer. If players have friended one another, they would be able to see each other and interact in the same environment. The filing includes more eyebrow-raising information beyond the massively single-player concept. Specifically, it refers to an implementation of the idea on a home video game system, such as the Nintendo Wii 3D video game system, a Nintendo DS, or other 3D-capable interactive computer graphics display systems, which they have stated they're not making a 3D Wii, but this patent kind of says that they might be. Of course, this patent was written in early 2010, so back then maybe they were still thinking the Wii 3D and they changed their mind since then. So as I said in the little teaser for the show, here's the thing. I can, off the top of my head, two seconds later, I can think of two games that already have prior art that were released before 2010 that do a lot of the things that are in this patent. And one of them is a game that has a lot of hardcore gamers that they all love, Demon's Souls, where you could leave notes for other people in their single player game. You can have, and so it's, you know, kind of like instead of the NPC, it would leave a piece of paper, and you could actually pick up the paper. There's that, and there was also another game. It was on the PC, and it was actually they actually used the term massively multiplayer, massively single player online game. They used the term. Anybody remember Spore? That was considered a massively single-player online game because the world, the universe, was populated by other people's characters. So, you know, and you know, Fable even had parts of this where you could, you know, run around and see other people if they were your friends in, interacting in the same world. Obviously, you know, not to the point of building a house or planting a tree if you're in the Fable universe. But bits and pieces of this patent have already been accomplished. And I'm sure that, you know, a lot of iPhone games that Nintendo probably hates and never looks at, I'm sure they've probably done a lot of the same things where, you know, it's a single-player game, but it's connected online. And, you know, Diablo 3, last week we talked about that. You know, it's a single-player game, but there's a real-world economy. There's an online economy that interacts with your single-player game, and you have to be connected to play your single-player game. So, unfortunately, I think this patent's going to get approved, and then Nintendo's going to go start either, you know, suing people for it or sitting on it and doing nothing. Spazinator says, so seeing as they're being a patent troll, can I sue them? I patented being a troll. Fistream says, get 3 billion points among all players, unlock a new level. I want more games like that. That's like the Nobi Nobi Boy, where everybody, you know, all the length that you made, you would get to new planets or something like that. Fistream continues, play by yourself, but if, say, 3,000 people beat a boss, he disappears from the game forever. Blender says, wait, they want you to play an online game by yourself? That's silly. People have done it. Loserly says, so patents aren't based on whether the idea has been done. They're based if someone else has claimed the idea is territory. Technically, they're supposed to be based on the first person to implement the idea. And the patent office is supposed to deny the patent if they don't, if they find the prior art. Unfortunately, the patent office doesn't do their due diligence, especially in the terms of software patents, where you're really patenting an idea. I don't think you should be allowed to patent an idea. You need to patent a physical invention. I'm fully for patents on physical devices, be it electronics hardware or, you know, things like that. But with software, you're patenting an idea. You're not even patenting any lines of code. So, you know, like I said, somebody patented the idea of having a smartphone app with a button in it that opens up a web page to your website. Somebody thinks they patented that. They patented that idea, and they're going to sue you for it. And so that's kind of why I think, you know, software patents really need to be reformed and stuff. Unfortunately, it's just with everything else going on in the country, that's not exactly high priority. That's not going to create jobs, which is the kind of the big buzzword. It's not going to end our, you know, conflicts or anything. So nobody really wants to tackle patent reform because there's so many other things that we need to reform that, you know, unfortunately, this stuff's going to happen. Doomplague says some physical inventions are only possible with the software. And I can see that, you know, if the patent is for something physical and then there are software things tied to it, I'd need to see an example of that. But it's like when you're just patenting an idea like, you know, Amazon's one click, that shouldn't be a patent. But it is. And it's held up and in court and everything. And, you know, I don't think that software-only patents, I don't think that should be allowed. So we're going to move on from Nintendo for just a little bit and go talk about somebody that's definitely not Nintendo, and that's id Software. If you want to go from, you know, from one end of the spectrum to the other, you go from Nintendo to id Software. And it's about, you know, the constant fight between game developers and the game consumer, or game publishers and the game consumers. I think id publishes their own stuff, so that works out here. Where, you know, game publishers are saying, you know, that used games hurt probably more than piracy. And that it's, you know, it benefits the retail stores, but not, it hurts the publishers. Now, granted, this is, well, there's going to be console versions of this as well. So it's not just a PC game, but it's about Rage. And Eurogamer had an interview with Tim Willits, who is the creative director of Rage at id Software. And they were talking about certain things. And the first, like, they were on the subject of using, like, an online pass type of thing. And they said, no, Tim said, we have first-time buyer stuff with the sewers. You know, and he asked the interviewer, you've played Rage 5 times. Have you found any sewer hatches? And he said, the Eurogamer interviewer said he had. Tim Willits says, if you bought the game now, then that would be open for you. You still have to download it, but you wouldn't have to pay for it. Those hatches are all over. Most people never find them, but as soon as you do, you're like, oh, and then you start to look for it. That's our first-time buyer incentive. But as you can tell, most people never even see it. I can tell you, some people will buy Rage, download that, and still never set foot in the things. They just won't. I think that's fair. It's cool. It's outside the main path. We're not detracting from everything. But I know some consumers, when you can't avoid it, then you get a little touchy subject. A Eurogamer says, I worry longer term, everyone's just going to get broken. Everything's going to get broken up into chunks. And Tim Willits says, I don't see that anytime soon. Again, as long as you buy Rage new, you get everything free. We're not taking stuff out. So basically, Rage, if you buy the game new, you will be able to enter these side quest sewer areas and play in the sewers. If you buy Rage used, you do not get those sewer levels, and right now they have even stated they do not plan on making them available for DLC. So the only way to get them is new. Do people even like to play sewer levels? Because I always, you know, hated kind of the cramped corridor sewer levels. So is this going to affect your decision to purchase Rage new or used? Because you can't go into these sewers. Damp, dark hallways with twisty passages all alike. Loserly says retail stores can't make money selling new games. And that's why they sell all the used games. So we're going to take a quick music break. And then we're going to take your calls on any of these subjects. Nintendo mostly. We talked about Rage. But if there's also something else that you want to talk about that I didn't cover, that will be your time. That will be after the music here, so I can rest my voice just for a little bit. You're listening to The Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to The Bobby Blackwell Show on allgames.com. Woohoo! It's a number one!
I thought chatter about video game radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
Oh, Mario. Why you no play on my iPhone? Why you no listen to investors? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, live here on All Games Radio. If you want to leave a bumper, you can either send an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com or leave a voicemail on our toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get the 14-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. So all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf, and you will be able to get a free audiobook. And it does actually help the show, so it's very much appreciated. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can call in to talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. If you've played a game that you want to talk about that maybe we haven't talked about here on the show, or any of the current news. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Blackwolf? This is Kai Judo.
Kai Judo, what's up, man? What's on your mind?
That last story that you read just pissed me off, man.
Oh, really? Did it make you seethe with rage?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really getting tired of these big time developers just going in there and basically telling us what we can do with our games, when we can buy our games, how we should buy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really taking.
So wait. Okay, hang on. You're upset that they are telling you when you can buy your game. So you would rather buy it whenever you want, even if the game's not done yet?
No, not that. What I'm saying is like what you mentioned earlier about them not giving some of the content to people who get the game used. Mm-hmm. My thing is that I shop at GameStop. I always buy new. I never like buying used games to begin with. But there's always a major shortage in games. Like once they sell out of the games new, mm-hmm. they just go directly to use. Like, this is very hard to get a brand new copy of a game. So, I mean, I basically have to race against the clock, you know? You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? Like, that week that the game comes out, if I don't get it within those 2 weeks, then I'm just going to come across used copies.
Right.
And I don't want to do that. So that's what I mean by them telling me when I should buy the game instead mm-hmm. of, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you like sewer levels?
No, I mean, I've never. When you said that, I was cracking up. I've always hated sewer levels since playing Nintendo. Not Nintendo. Since playing Ninja Turtles on mm-hmm. on the Nintendo. So I hate sewer levels. I can't stand them.
So you're not missing anything if you buy.
No, I mean, in fact, I'm not even buying that game. Not mm-hmm. because of what they're doing. I just never had any interest in getting that game to begin with. Uh-huh. But I'm just afraid of this like starting a trend. You know, because like I see a lot of trends starting with these big developers and. I'm pretty much at the point where the only games that I'm probably going to buy are maybe anytime they make an Elder Scrolls game, mm-hmm. anytime Rockstar makes a game, and I'm just going to buy indie games. I'm really tired of all this crazy stuff that these big developers are doing, you know, especially with Blizzard. I don't know if you...
You're okay with Oblivion withholding armor for your horse.
Oh, you're
unless you spent $3.
Well, I mean, in their defense, at that time I didn't have a PC that could run Oblivion, mm-hmm. so it never really affected me. I never like.
But they were withholding armor from a horse, withholding it.
Yeah, but I mean, they learned their lesson. I mean, you know, they haven't done it again, and they don't plan to. As far as I know, they don't plan to do it with.
I'm gonna laugh if they do it in Skyrim. That would be hilarious.
But what I wanted to mention was, I don't know if you ever read this story a while back. This is what really was the catalyst for me and really wanted to boycott these big production games. Is you remember this guy had, I can't remember the name of it. The spacecraft game. What is it that Blizzard made?
What, StarCraft?
Yeah, StarCraft. That's it, sorry. He had StarCraft and he decided, you know, he was going to look up some cheats or something and put some cheat in his game to play offline.
Right.
And he put that in the game, and they banned him from the game for cheating offline, which I totally don't understand. I mean, I understand penalizing someone for cheating online, you know?
Absolutely.
I think that's wrong. But, I mean, if you want to just screw around with the game in your own home, you should be able to do that. So, I mean, you know, that...
I agree.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I need the cheats.
Yeah.
Because I suck. Like, I wish Catherine had cheats. Then I could have gotten farther in the game.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm at the point where I'm going indie games. I think these developers are shooting themselves in the foot, and they're really hurting themselves. Forget about pirators and people who buy used games. They're killing themselves.
And actually, what Skyrim's going to do, Doomplague actually says this in chat. What's going to happen is that when you buy the game, if you buy it used, the dragons will have dragon armor, and if you pay extra, they will take the armor off of it and make horse armor out of it for the Oblivion players.
That's great.
Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Good night.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. A lot of people tried to call in during that, so we're hopefully going to have a lot of good calls tonight. Dire Claw says, I wouldn't be surprised if horse armor was a pre-order deal, but who would do that? So we have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Jim Sally.
Jim Sally, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy, man? Bobby Blackwell, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Are you raging about anything this week?
I'm a little bit of raging at these shareholders coming after poor Nintendo all of a sudden.
Poor little Nintendo.
Poor little Nintendo. I think the shareholders need to just be quiet. And they need to be quiet. And they need to let those boys do what those boys do best. They've been making money hand over fist selling the same games every year, man. Like, I don't think the
until this last quarter, now they're not making money hand over fist. Now they're just making money hand.
They're still making money. The shareholders should shut up and let them do it. The shareholders get rich for doing nothing, and then these guys get to make video games. They should be allowed to just do what they want.
But it's all about making more money.
How much money do these shareholders want? This is crazy. Come on. They should leave them alone. Let them make Nintendo games on just the Nintendo.
They can leave them alone by pulling out all their money.
But why though? There's no money to pull out. I don't understand how that works. They can sell their stock then, right? Well, they can sell their stock for half price then. Give me some, and I'll let them do whatever they want. They can't pull out their money. I don't think the guys running the company need money from them anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just votes, right? Those guys have good cash flow every year.
Yeah, but if they pull their money out, then that's less money.
Well, how can they pull their money out? They can't pull it out. They have to sell, right?
Right.
They can't pull out.
Yeah.
Like, they just sell. That's all that would happen, right?
So, if they want to be real, so you want them to shut up?
Force the buyout, but then Sony or someone's going to buy it up, right? Because it's Nintendo. Mm-hmm. They should let them do what they do best,
which is only make money hand instead of hand over fist.
Yeah, man. Well, this one year, give them a break. It's one little year, right? You know, they've been around for 25 years or something.
Oh, longer than that.
Like, it's
they made playing cards before then.
You know, they can't have good years every year. Like, if you just took GM in 2008, why do we still have GM cars today, right? Because it was just one year.
Yeah, but I can't see the government bailing Nintendo out.
Because they don't need to, because they're still making money. You know, these shareholders are crazy. These shareholders are stupid. They don't know anything about making video games.
No, that's the point.
Shut up, man.
That's the point. They know about making money, and they say that's why Nintendo needs to make games for the iPhone, because that's where the money is and not in the 3DS.
They're still making profit. Oh, whatever, one big deal. Remember the Virtual Boy thing? That was insane, man. They're still here.
Barely.
Remember the one, what was the last one called before the Wii?
What, the GameCube? GameCube.
Yeah. Like, that thing went nowhere too, right? But whatever, who cares? It's Nintendo. They made the Wii. Remember the Wii? Jeez, man. Remember the time they had Super Street Fighter and they had to put the buttons on the top of the controller?
Right.
So you could do the punch and the middle kick and the high kick? Yeah, let them make video game shareholders. Go home and shut up, man. High kicking. And the shareholders are looking at it. I'm sorry, Bobby. I'm getting all ranty getting your podcast. I'm going to go.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim Sally.
I love you, Bobby. Have a good night.
Love you, too.
And remember, if you're a shareholder, high kick it and shut it up.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and tell shareholders they need to shut up. I don't know. We have another call here on the line. They're coming really quickly. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, it's Loserly.
Loserly, what's up? What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the, new games having special features thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really don't think that's that bad of an idea. It's kind of like along the same vein of you buy the special collector's edition, you get more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't have a cow over that. It's like, if you want to pay more money for the game, you get more stuff. And like on another note, something needs to be fixed, because game companies, I don't think that they charge too much for games in the sense of we're still paying $60 for games when we were paying $60 for games back when, like, you know, Nintendo 64, yeah, you know.
Nobody wants to remember that. Nobody wants to remember. Nobody wants to remember that Majora's Mask cost $75 when it first came out.
I mean, just working retail and doing the trade-ins, and you see people come in and they have the receipts and they're like, I paid $600 for this console and all these games back in 1992. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, well, it's not worth anything now. But like, there's got to be a way for game companies to be able to make money so they can continue making games. And, you know, game stores, they just can't make any money selling new games, so they have to sell used games. So you kind of have to think outside of the box to try to fix this problem.
Right. Did you hear, I only read the story of this, going back to, like, your, you know, I paid $600. There was a guy that went, I guess, on Pawn Stars or one of those shows and took his original 8-bit Nintendo. And he was seeking $13,000 for it. Because it was an NES-001, so it was the first Nintendo.
Yeah.
And he used, I think what he did is he looked at an eBay auction that happened to have, like, the rarest Nintendo game in it and saw that it went for, like, you know, $13,000. So he figured he should get $13,000 for his original NES. And apparently they busted him on that. But I just thought that was kind of funny that, you know, but this auction, it had six games. I mean, one of them was Stadium Events, which is, you know, $10,000 on its own. But, you know, he was like, oh, but it's an original. This is the first Nintendo DS ever made.
Yeah. I actually had somebody call the shop and ask about that they had a Nintendo sitting around, and they were looking for, like, $9,000 for it.
Yeah, it's like $10 for a trade-in on that.
Because they had seen that show.
Yeah. No, I think these are like, you know, if cause does your shop take in the older stuff, or is it just
the
newer
stuff?
We
take in anything as long as it works. Doesn't matter how old it is.
All right. So you don't work at an Evil G or anything like that?
No. Okay. It's a local place.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So do you have, like, any, like, suggestions of, like, where you would like to see the game companies go to help used games as well as kind of help pay their employees?
Honestly, I like I said, I don't think that's that bad of an idea. If it's something that doesn't take away from the main gameplay, or something that, you know, maybe even stuff that isn't included in the game, that's kind of like the collector's edition stuff that's thrown in only for new, or you know, like when they do for pre-orders and stuff. I mean, that's the type of incentives that the people who care enough are going to, you know, dish out the money for it. And the people who don't care enough, you know, then they don't have to suffer. I don't know. I don't really think it's that bad of an idea.
Yeah. I mean, and there's got to be ways to do it. I mean, some people complain, you know, especially, you know, online servers, that's kind of where it's going. And a lot of people are complaining. But, I mean, the reality is people got to get paid somehow. And unfortunately, the smile on your face when you're playing the game and how much you enjoy it does not put food on the table.
Yeah.
For the developer making the game. Xenocore came into chat because I hadn't actually watched the clip. I just read about it. He said it was quite hilarious when the NES on that show was actually found to be broken. So he wanted $13,000 for a broken unit.
Oh, nice. Nice.
That's even better. So, anything else on your mind?
No, that's it.
All right. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from
Thanks.
You. Thanks. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll free in North America. One other person was trying to call in during that. We'll see if he makes it in. What Up G asks, how much would an NES with Miyamoto's signature fetch me? No clue. But we have our last call for the night. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Blender, bud.
Blender, what's up, man? What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I totally agree with Loserly's call.
Uh-huh.
One of the things was I used to work for a rental car company, and it was very enterprising, but I am not going to mention any names.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually made more money.
I see what you did there.
From instead of the rentals of the cars, but reselling the cars themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean,
that's where they made their bread and butter, was off of reselling the cars before they went out of warranty and all that. So I don't see any difference between you know, the used games and, you know, for example, like the rental car business, it's not going to go away. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was kind of the thing is that, you know, they, I guess they buy the cars new, they rent them for like a year and then sell them used.
Yeah, they sell them before their warranty expires, and that's how they make all their money.
I think one of my used cars was a rental. I think one of the used cars I bought was a rental at one point.
Yeah, but I just had my first experience with buying a new game, and I bought Fear 3, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't play multiplayer online, and it was because of the fact that I entered the code that was on there. You know, when it came out.
In their amazing, like, 50-page manual that comes with the game?
No, it's not a 50-page manual. It was a card that you had to pull back, like, kind of like
I thought opening
a box of tissue.
But Fear 3 is, like, the one of the ones that, like, just doesn't have a book at all, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's like, it's got a card, and it's that's got the warranty information as well, and the leak, the epilepsy warning, and then that's it. Like, there's no manual for this game.
Exactly.
And people are saying the manual is why we still pay that much for physical copies, and now they're getting rid of the manual.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I was like that with the show. I'm like, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? You know, and you can't really, you have to learn as you go or go online and check that out.
Well, I mean, some of the games, like I know, like NCAA football, does this where instead of a printed manual, the manual is actually available in the game. And they actually lay it out like, you know, it looks like it's a you're just looking at a PDF file on your Xbox or your PS3 or whatever, and that's kind of where they put it. I'm, you know, I can see more games doing that. Or a lot of times what they'll do is on that little card, you can say, for the manual, go to ea.com/manuals/whatever. So, a lot, you know, a lot of people, they're putting the manual online.
But see, I don't have a router. So I'm kind of screwed when I'm playing these games. So I have to actually unplug my PS3 and plug back into my PC to try and get the manual.
Oh, go,
you know what I mean?
Go buy a used router somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
No, I understand. Yeah, anyway, I appreciate your call, man. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
I got one more thing.
All right.
I bought the Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year Edition with the 3D glasses. And it's actually, it's not like 3D TV where you have to buy the actual TV. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting sold more and more on all these peripherals, like the PlayStation Move, the Sharpshooter, and now 3D. I can't afford $1,000 to get a 3D TV, but I'm telling you.
So were you able to play the game in 3D?
Huh?
Were you able to play the game in 3D? I'm kind of confused on this.
Yeah, yeah. You have to put the glasses on like you do, like, for a 3D movie. They're like red and blue.
Oh, so it's the red.
What do they call it?
That method.
Yeah. But I've played the game, the single player, or I bought the original, and I played, there's one area, I don't know how much you played the game, there's one area in the there where you go through these caves, and it's a pain in the ass to try and get through these caves where you have to jump up and down and launch and your Batarang or Bat, whatever they call it. But when I put the 3D glasses on and I went through the same area that I traversed when I was playing it the first time, it made it so much better.
Now, hang on. Is this because of the 3D glasses or because you've already gone through it once and you remember what you did?
No. It was because of the 3D itself. You were able to actually see the columns and the areas that you were able to climb to a lot better while looking through the 3D.
Okay.
And it was amazing. I was just like, that one point, I was just like, because there was that was the one area that I hated going through when I was playing it before. But when I put the glasses on and I started playing through it, I was like, I can see where I need to go next without having to wear the, you know, look around and juggle through it, you know.
So 3D games are the future.
Yeah, I kind of think, you know, between, like I told you, like last time I called you, when I got the sharpshooter and for the move support, and now I got the 3D, this Batman at Arkham Asylum. First chance I get, I'm going to get a 3D TV.
Okay, now Tiger Claw brings up something. Do you have an HD TV now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, then that answers, because Tiger Claw was saying, I don't know if the red and blue 3D glasses would work on HD TVs due to the difference in color balance. Blues don't look blue enough.
They do.
And red does not.
There's some adjustments that you can make to make the 3D a little better. But yeah, they work. And I don't sit 6 feet away from my TV set, but I'm sitting like 3 feet away, and I'm still seeing the depth of the vision and all that.
All right. So you do have to tinker with the picture settings. That's kind of what he was getting at.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the color settings, and a lot of the new 3D TVs have like dynamic black and and the sharpness and all that. You just tinker with it a little bit, and it works great.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, bud. I'll talk to you later.
So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for a little bit longer than we do, and they also have some very interesting stories that go along with it. And so we like to call and check in with them to see if, and I'm not trending this week, so it should be okay. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing okay. Interesting stuff all about Nintendo at the top of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I think investors don't realize is Nintendo games would be horrible on the iPod. I mean, a big part of the Nintendo games is the whole, you know, Nintendo controller. And they just would not translate very well into the touch world. In fact, you know, some of the NES games that have been ported over to the iOS systems, like Mega Man, Mega Man 2, and all those, are quite terrible.
Yeah.
They are no fun to play whatsoever on the iPhone.
I disagree to a certain extent.
Oh, really?
Well, look at games like, for example, Zelda... was it Phantom Hourglass and stuff like that all required just stylus controls on the and a DS.
He's got you there. He's got you there.
Yes.
But, it's also,
but yes, the majority of every majority of the other games would suck.
Who wants to play Wind Waker?
Hey, I love Wind Waker.
The investors don't want to see Wind Waker. They want to see Mario.
They have to understand that they just are being fair to everybody, so they're ignoring the investors just like they ignore the fans. You know, so it's just the same amount of love to go around.
See, I wish the investors were spending their time, you know, trying to say we want Xenoblade and Last Story. Actually, in the article I mentioned, it was kind of interesting. The last company Nintendo bought is the one that is the company that made Xenoblade.
Well, here, to be fair, and you know, I kind of started thinking, I'm almost kind of going back on, you know, I'm not really angry about them. I just think it's kind of stupid if you're going to localize it already. But if you think about it, you know, games that are kind of more skewed towards the hardcore niche crowd haven't done well in the Wii, and they're kind of like, well, do we really want to repeat a Mad World or, you know, No More Heroes or Conduit 2 or something like that, where it just doesn't sell as well as like a Mario game, so why should we spend the money in marketing to bring over a game? But then to, you know, to that, well, you're already localizing it for Europe, so you might as well just go the extra step and bring it over to North America. So I don't know,
but I guess what the investors might be thinking is, you know, if Nintendo creates a game for that type of device and not port something, but like actually create a Mario that works specifically for the iPhone, all touch controls, no buttons anywhere, that they could, you know, make more money, they could get back in profits, and that's what the smartphone that's what the investors think, not necessarily what's actually the case.
If investors were smart, they'd have their own stupid companies instead of investing money for other people to do the work for them. So you know what? They can go suck it because they just don't know anything. All they know is Nintendo is a successful company. We make lots of money off of them. That's all they know. They don't know the first thing about publishing.
Not this year.
Well, not as much money. But they don't know the first thing about, you know, running a company, publishing anything. They just have money for making smart investments, and that's about it. I mean, making smart investments doesn't necessarily mean that you could run a company.
I know of a great podcast with three bitchy hosts that could really use some investments coming our way.
Oh, and to go back on one of your last callers there, talking about 3D and how it's expensive, there's actually, it's kind of funny, there's a peripheral that's coming out that someone's making. I don't remember which company to be exact, but it's basically a device that you hook up via HDMI. It takes all those stereoscopic 3D games that would normally require the 3D TVs and active, you know, shutter glasses and stuff like that, and it translates them to kind of like the red blue glasses, but I believe it's like yellow blue. But it actually is like $100. So if you don't want to dive in and get that, and you really, really want 3D and you want to play it on games that don't support the red blue glasses or whatever, you could actually buy that and use it.
That's interesting. I'll look into that.
Supposed to be coming out this fall. I don't remember. I have to look. I can't remember who's putting it out.
Well, there's your homework. Figure that out. So what else are you guys going to be talking about on your show tonight?
There's actually quite a bit of news going on around the gaming universe. We want to talk about one of the very interesting enhancements that's happened to Steam recently, where, hey, if you just happen to have extra copies of a game lying around, which isn't all too uncommon when they sell, you know, packs of two or four games, you can trade those extra games for hats and maybe some other things in the near future. Some other news on the Wii U, speaking of patents, Nintendo and so forth, some more information on the Wii U coming out for one of these patents that's been released recently. Got to talk about the game enhancement in Google Plus. We all knew it was coming. It's here. So how is it? And also a brand new Counter-Strike game. It's nice to see that Valve is finally announcing something.
And I hear you've had a little bit of an adventure that you're going to go into on the show.
Oh, yes. Definitely stay tuned. We're probably going to kick off the show with a bit of a shock. While everybody was concerned about their information being at risk over here, everybody's information is being stolen over here.
Right, and you're not the only person I've heard that this has happened to.
A lot of people, and guess what, folks? If you don't change your password tonight, you're next.
That's right.
and you want to know what site? Stay tuned.
Thanks so much. Orange Lounge Radio coming up next. Change your password on orangeloungeradio.com.
That's always a good idea, too.
So that is it for us. We will be back next, or for me, we'll be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. So catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave us a voicemail on any topic, or just leave a bumper for using our show on our toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me at bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/bobbyblackwolf, or you can add me to your Google Plus circles, no game invites, please, as Bobby Blackwolf. Or BobbyBlackWolf.com, we have a forum. You can just send text stuff, and we might read your email on the air. We don't actually get any emails. That's why I don't read anything on the air. Or just be a part of the All Games Network community. Our chat room is hopping every day, every night. There's new live stuff every night at AllGames.com. If you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show's not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of our live chatter, so thank you very much. DC Nate, Derek H., The Rob D., Tiger Claw, Bird, De Blue Guy, Doomplague, Eswat, Fifth Dream, Funny Dale, Having 978, Kitsune, Maximilian, Pendelicious, Shadows Liar, THK, Wylin, Delaware. I've never had to say his name yet. Alpha Cananagram, Bacon Bits, Billy OK, Card Freak, Crispy, D5T, Dark Tetsuya, Dark Toagak, Deadman Wade, Act Deft, DJ Dark Knight, Dungeon Buster, Eric K, Firecube, Frank Branches, Hitstun, Blender, Jim Selly, Kaijudo, Kazan, Loserly, Magic Nomicon, Matt Cube, Melted General, Mr. Hunt, first name Mike, MXT, Necromoss, Ruben, Sickman, Silver Sonic 6, Sky, Spazinator, SSJ100 Matt, Sub-Z, TDB30, TechyQ, Tedekin, THK, True, Warham, WhatUpG, Wilcon, Xenocore, Zeba, and Zether. So thank you very much, all of you. We will be back next week. And hopefully no idiotic patents will be passed in the next week. But if there are, we'll be here and talk about them. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of All Games Radio or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios for All Games Radio.